If you would turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are picking up tonight in our seventh lesson on stewarding life. Second Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We are again in our seventh lesson on stewarding life. God has called us to be stewards of the life He's blessed us with. It's a gift. And everything we do is an investment for eternity. I say again, everything we do is an investment for eternity. We have been called to steward the different aspects of our lives, and we've certainly looked at several already. Stewarding time we looked at, stewarding health we looked at, stewarding so many aspects in this life that God has given us, relationships. We trust the Lord to lead us as we do steward this life for Him, and He gives us the instruction manual. He gives us the instruction manual. That's why we study it in our daily lives. That's why we study it as a church, is because He tells us how to do it, and He explains it to us. So tonight's a little bit of an interesting, we won't finish it tonight, but we are going to be looking at stewarding trials. If you need a handout, please just let one of the ushers know by raising your hand. We have those available. Does anybody need a handout? We got extras in the foyer if you do need one. But stewarding trials is where we are tonight. Stewarding trials. Let's look there at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, or to brag, or to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory." But notice this next phrase. You'll notice the direction he's going. What's he going to glory in? Not in that which he witnessed in the third heaven. But he says, "But in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I'm going to do something that I don't do very often, but we're going to do it for the sake of the importance of understanding the context of what we've just read together. We're going to read that again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. "It is not expedient or profitable for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. Father, your word is clear. Your servant Paul is expressing to us by the power of your Spirit, inspired by your Spirit, to write these thoughts down. Lord, you gave him an awesome, awesome experience. Whether in the body or out of the body, Lord, Paul doesn't know. But Lord, what he witnessed was and must have been truly astounding, magnificent. Things that can't even be uttered, no vocabulary for what he beheld. But Lord, you showed him through this that there was something more important for him to have. And that was your grace. So Lord, would you help us to understand the truth about trials, their purpose, what you desire to accomplish through them and bringing us closer to yourself and experiencing your grace. Your grace, God. That's what we want. And we understand from your word, that's what you want us to have. So thank you, Lord, as we trust you now and to lead us and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stewarding trials. What does it mean to steward a trial? Well, let me just say here in the beginning what it does not mean. And I'm just going to give you the short version of it. It does not mean controlling trials. Don't ever try to control a trial. You can't control a trial. You can control the way you respond to a trial. But there is not a person in this room that has the power to control a trial. There are many things in our life. Would you not agree with me tonight, brothers and sisters? There are things that happen in our life and many times in the packages of trials that we had no control over. And quite frankly, this is what we're referring to here as we look at Paul's life. Now, there is a such thing as some self-inflicted wounds that we bring upon ourselves. That does happen. But I'm speaking more in the context of just things that happen in life in a sin-cursed world. And we're easily deceived and where people are easily hurt and so many things can go wrong so quickly in a world that we live in. And trials are a part of life and they come in all kinds of different packages. I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid and when it came Christmas time, my mom used to fuss at me for the way I would get around the Christmas tree and pick up the gifts that she had wrapped that had my name on it. And I would do everything I could to figure out what was in that box. Anybody else do that as a kid? I mean, you'd shake it. You'd kind of get a feel of it and whatnot. And man, you just wanted to figure out what it was. And out of curiosity, you didn't want to wait that long and just didn't know what was going to happen. I was laughing the other day. I,
I had an uncle who liked to play jokes and just kind of get a kick out of kids. Well, one year he thought he would be funny and we were exchanging gifts at my mom's side of the family. It was my mom's brother, Jerry Ray. And he just wanted, I guess, to see my facial expression. Well, again, if I would have been a good kid, a grateful kid, I would have been thankful for whatever it was, right? I mean, that's the way I should have been. Well, when I opened the gift, it was a little matchbox car. And all the other kids are opening up remote control cars and different things like that. And he did that just so he could see my face when it was just a little dollar store matchbox car. And after he got a good kick out of it, he gave me something a little better than that. But anyway, there's that idea of gifts. You know, and there's one thing that we as God's people, we fall short here. I know I do. Many times we do not look at trials as God's gifts. But I do want us to really think about this tonight. They really are. Trials come in different packages. Like for instance, you know, you get a package that, promotion at work. We look at, that's a great gift. But then open up another package and, you know, this is your 1 week notice. You'll no longer have a job type thing. Or could be you are going to have a new house. That's definitely no trial. That's a gift. But the same notices that we would get on your house is going in foreclosure. We don't look at that as a gift, do we? But you know, there are things that can take place in your life that have what we would consider a negative connotation to it. But in reality, it can be a gift. And the reason I want to say that is because we're going to look here in this text. Paul clearly is identifying at first, Lord, get this thorn, remove it. Get it out of here. But when God expressed to Paul that, Paul, this thorn is designed at this season in your life, in this time in your life, it is designed to be a channel of my grace. And then when Paul recognized that, Paul said, I will gladly therefore glory. I will recognize that as your gift, and Lord, allow this trial in my life to bring upon your ultimate purpose. Again, no one wants to get that prognosis, diagnosis, or from the doctor that speaks of an illness. No one wants to hear that. And we don't wish it upon anybody. But when those type of things come into our life, we must not look at it as a punishment. We must not look at it as God picking on us. But when we are faced with things that make us uncomfortable, things that cause us truly to hurt, we need to realize that God is giving it in a way that could help us understand Him better. And Paul is expressing that in here. He saw something amazing. We don't know what it was. It's the Lord he got a glimpse of and the things that he beheld. But we're going to see because of that, God needed to bring something to his life to keep him humble, to keep him not becoming boastful and prideful because what he experienced or what he beheld. And so this is what God allowed. And the scripture does say in verse 7 that it was a messenger of Satan. Now, we'll look more into it, but we don't know exactly what it was that was a messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. It could have been, again, that the persecutions that he experienced, you know, he was constantly being attacked. I mean, we read that, right? I mean, we read those things together of what he, the things that he would go through because of that, that we read that there in verse, in his affirmities, we say there in verse 5. And then, of course, he goes on through it in verse 6. And then we, of course, looked at verse 10 where it kind of walks him through it. He says, infirmities, reproaches, and necessities, persecutions, and distresses. So that was a thorn in the flesh, perhaps. Some think it was maybe a physical problem, his eyesight. In fact, in Galatians, we'll see that he refers to a physical ailment that he had that limited him in his ability, his physical ability, and it bothered him. It could have been that. We could go through the line and each person here perhaps is in a trial or has gone through a trial, getting ready to go through one where the Lord is teaching us to trust Him. And one of the things I believe that we always need to keep in mind is that when we think of the context of stewarding a trial, one of the ways that we can pray it is, Lord, don't necessarily deliver me from the trial, but Lord, would you please deliver me through this trial? Hold my hand. Pick me up. Oh, God, you got to do this. I can't. You can. But, Lord, help me by your grace to learn what you want me to learn. And I know sometimes some of us learn quicker than others. But nevertheless, we can steward these trials. There in your handout, you'll notice, number one, we're going to look at one of the ways and purposes of trials is for God to teach us humility. Number one is humility. Humility. Humility, I would say, is certainly a gift. When we experience humility, that is going to attract the power of God and the grace of God. And that is a gift. More of thee, O God. He giveth more grace unto the humble. He giveth more grace. And so as we think upon this, we certainly recognize he was one that was understanding that of humility. We're going to see here in just a moment as we fill in the blanks here. We're going to look at Job. Job was one that we see very clearly who experienced some of these same trials that Paul did, maybe a little, some differences, but nevertheless, we see there are some similarities. But let's look, first of all, the presence of the trial. There, at letter A, the presence of the trial. We've already looked this in your handout, but you can see there in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you at the first. And he goes on to say, wherein this blessedness ye spoke of, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Maybe an ailment there with his eyes. And so we see the presence of the trial in his life, the presence of the trial. You know, Job went through a lot, didn't he? Job was a man that constantly was faced with the temptation from receiving the attacks of Satan upon his body, the temptation just to give up on life, give up on God. There was that battle that he had, but he loses it all. But one of the things that we see he didn't lose, thank God, he didn't lose his life. Though at times in his misery, he probably wished he could have. You know, he didn't lose his wife, but he did lose her support in that trial. And she even would mention in chapter 2, verse 9, she said to him, dost thou still retain that integrity? Curse God and die. Job had to make a choice that he was going to maintain his integrity and he was going to trust God and walk through what he was going through. So again, when Job suffered for what he did, he didn't pretend the trial didn't hurt. He did not pretend. And no one in the Christian life should ever expect anyone to pretend that a trial is not painful. It hurts. It's difficult. And it many times just seems like we're not going to make it. God will put you through a trial. If you hadn't had it yet, He will, where you honestly, if you're honest, you're going to wonder, am I going to make it? Am I going to be able to get through this? It's going to happen. And that's normal, but what we do with that is that we understand, we come back to our senses, our spiritual senses, and trust the Lord with that trial. He chose to patiently endure until He found in His own heart and mind that, yes, I can trust God. He is faithful. I don't know, what pain or fear are you facing tonight? What is it that is troubling you? I don't know, it may be a doctor's report. It may be a warning from your boss at work that's going on. It could be a threat, a criticism, could be a rejection. You're going through something, but I want to tell you, God's using it in your life and my life. God doesn't waste anything, and He certainly does not waste trials. He uses them to teach His children about His grace. You know, whatever Paul was facing, it was pretty significant. What he saw was pretty significant. Now, if Paul would have had the chance, I know if I was in Paul's shoes and he saw what he saw up in the heaven before this thorn in the flesh came, you know, he could have sold books and he could have sold millions. He could have made a lot of money, man. He could have been on the front page of the Jerusalem News or whatever, and whatever you want to say. I mean, he could have made a big, big deal out of it. But he did not. He did not. He didn't even speak of the event except this once that we have recorded. And it was 14 years after it happened. So God had used this buffeting of Satan to work the sweet fruit of humility in Paul's life. He referred to this thorn, this messenger of Satan, as having a divine purpose. Lest I should be exalted above measure, which is being prideful. And there are times in our life where we easily become prideful. You know, that idea that I got this. I got this. This reminds me of me, Chloe learning to ride her bike. She just got her bike for her birthday. She just turned 4. And man, she was so happy about that bike. And she's got the training wheels, of course, and it's a pretty pink bike. And we got out there in the street, and she got confident on that thing. And I was like, okay, that's good. You know, good job, you know. But boy, it didn't take. But everything was going fine until she turned. And when she turned with that momentum and her not quite understanding all the balance quite right, you guessed it, she tumbled. And when she hit that ground, boy, she let out a scream. You just thought it was the end of the world, I thought the neighbors were going to come running out the front doors, there was no consoling, no comforting her, and I tell you right now, she'll hardly get on that bike now. What do you say? What about that? You know, she will, but it's kind of interesting. In fact, I was talking to her last night. We went on a family walk. Was it last night or the night before? But we went on a little family walk, and she had this little tricycle, little small thing. She definitely had outgrown that. Well, we went on our family walk. Guess what she brought from the garage? You think she brought her nice pink big bike? No. She lowered herself and she said, I think I'm just going to do the tricycle, Daddy. It's just fine. And she humbled herself. She was brought lower, and she didn't think anything about it. I'll give you that little story about this. Sometimes we get real confident in life, and we don't need the Lord as much. But let us take a turn, and let us tumble, and let us hit that pavement and scrape our hands up and realize we're not as big and powerful as we thought. We need the Lord. We need Him desperately every day. And God has a way of showing us that. Can you just note this? Problems, difficulties, and heartaches remind us that we are always dependent on the Lord. Heartaches, difficulties, and problems remind us that we are to be dependent upon Him for everything. And sometimes in our good times, in our life and ministry, we do it in our own strength. And sometimes God will bring things to realize, no, you need me, son. You need me, daughter. You need me desperately. More, in fact, than you've been thinking you need me. And so we understand there this presence of this trial was for the purpose of teaching Paul to be humble, to be yielded, to love Him. So we see the presence there of the trial. But number two, we see the purpose of the trial. We see the purpose of the trial. The purpose of this trial. God has many purposes, does He not? He had a message. Paul preached a tremendous message, and he traveled all over the world preaching the news of salvation by God's grace. He planted churches. He led people to the Lord. He discipled them. He raised up and trained leaders. And of course, the Holy Spirit would use him to pen most of the New Testament. But what about Paul himself? Was his life consistent with the message he preached? I would say so. And one of the things that I believe that God would use for the purpose of a trial in our life to see if really our life is going to be consistent with what we believe. It's easy to believe something until you're tested on it. And many times a trial will be simply for God to say, He knows what we believe. It's like you go back to the Old Testament. I wish I could go back to the verse. Man, maybe I'll find it later. But the verse simply says something that God proved them to see whether or not they would obey Him. Oh, that certainly doesn't mean that God didn't know. No, it doesn't mean that. What does that mean? It means God does things in our life to bring us through things for us to be able to see whether we really believe God or not. 8:2. Thank you, Miss Kathy. If you want to jot that down, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. He does that to help us understand that many times we really don't believe God. And we need to see that, because that means there is a growing that needs to happen. Notice with me, if you go back one chapter, we'll close with this one unless we can go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We can look through Acts 2, 2 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians gives us a glimpse, sort of a biographical sketch of some of Paul's turmoil and adversity, and he gives an abbreviated account here in 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 24. So he says in verse 23, in fact, when he's defending his apostleship, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths aught." Notice this list here. Verse 24, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen." And you can see the list going on there. And on and on. In verse 27, "In weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." So he's saying here in verse 29 and 30, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. So Paul boasted not in his strength, but actually in his weakness. He was tested through this. But here's the beautiful thing that we cannot miss. Paul could stand before the precious people that he was leading to Christ, that he was discipling. He could stand before them and say, not only do I believe this, but I've lived it. I've lived it. He can testify. You know how it is. You find that certain tool in your garden for your garden work, or for a tool for or cleaning instrument for your house, or that certain ingredient that just you've experienced it, you've used it, you tested it, said, and you could stand before the person that you're promoting it to, hey, this works. Maybe it's a medicine. I don't know. Maybe it's a naturopathic medicine or something like that. I don't know. But you can testify, hey, this works. Children of God, my brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to be able to do this for His glory. He wants us to be able to stand before people that are broken in this world with no hope, and that are hurting and that are experiencing some real darkness in their life. And he wants us to be able to, with humility, be able to stand before them and say, brother, sister, I'm truly sorry you're having to go through this, but I do want to tell you, God is faithful. God will walk you through this. He will not abandon you. I know it hurts. I know it's unpleasant. I know it doesn't seem right, and I know maybe there doesn't seem a way out. But Jesus will walk with you, and you will experience His grace through this. But if you and I don't go through those things, we can't do that. It's all theory to us. Well, this is what, you know, I think can happen to you. But when you can stand beside someone that's going through it, doesn't mean you went through it perfectly, flawlessly, because none of us do. Doesn't mean that. But it means that God allows these things to come into our life. And Peter talks about that too. And 1 Corinthians talks about it, so that we can also be a blessing to others. It's a test. So tonight, as we close in prayer, I don't know where you are in the presence of a trial, but understand this, the purpose of a trial, God is doing a great work in your life. You are being tested. I am being tested constantly. And I trust that we will come through these tests and allow those impurities to come out, because they're there, but allow the Lord to really show what is in your life, in my life. I don't want to be that one that Satan comes along and tempts, and there's no fruit, no root given, and no harvest in my life. And I believe you would say the same. We want God to have His way. So let's pray. Father,